sweat technique.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Gator says Harden played through all kinds of injuries in Houston. He was a gamer. He was a bit of an Iron Man, James Harden. He didn't miss many games.
Look, he had his best years.
Didn't miss many games. Texture with the podcast, at least CJ's mind was on football and discussing schemes and reading defenses versus playing Call of Duty all day and not studying the playbook. Like, who? Not getting onto you here, Texture. But, like, what do y'all think a football player's offseason looks like? Like, are they waking up and then spending their entire waking moments of the day, every single moment that they're awake during the day, you think that they're working out and preparing for the next season? We're not foolish, are we?
See,
like, what are we doing here?
Everybody's different, right? And every athlete is different. And, you know, guys like Kobe couldn't get enough of it. And even in the offseason, they were paying Dream, you know, six figures to teach him moves. And he was constantly still in the gym and doing his workout regimen. Guys like Barkley and Shaq took the whole summer off. They basically were doing other things and didn't pick up a ball again until they got real close to training camp. And in the case of Charles, he didn't pick a ball up till he got back to training camp. And then he used training camp to get back in shape because he wanted to live life too. And so everybody's different from that regard. And I think football players are the same. Some guys you say, well, I'm going to take a week or two off, then I'm going to get right back to it. And other guys are like, I'm going to let my body kind of heal. I'm going to kind of relax for a month or two, and then I'm going to, you know, start focusing and work my way gradually into playing again.
Again, Texture, it's not that CJ is coasting, but there's working hard and there's being obsessed. Every GM wishes they had a quarterback with talent and obsession. Very rare these days. Texture,
the greatest of all time was obsessed.
Who's that?
Brady.
Yeah. Yeah, he was, but he was talking to Jim Gray in his free time, hanging out with Jim Gray.
But he was still changing his mechanics and his footwork and working on something every offseason to where that's obsessive.
Tiger was one of the greats, and he had plenty of time for side hobbies.
Oh, both.
Texture, I know BMAC didn't just compare CJ to MJ. He's not listening.
Who in the hell? Oh,
WWF is a prime example of degenerates and still showing up to work. Yeah, but they die when they're 45. Ocho, what's up, guys? Sorry I'm late. I was discussing The Greatness of Paradise on Hulu with my mom, who just binged it today. I don't have Hulu, and I don't know what Paradise is, but I have a guess, and it's probably not a show I think I would talk about with my mom.
Sounds like it, and I think Paulie was talking about it last week. And I think it gets pretty saucy.
So he's talking about it with his, but he must be lying.
No, because
Ocho's
he
got,
said,
I'm saying Ocho must be Ocho. Lying. Yeah, I don't think Ocho's talking about that with his
Paul
mother.
Paul was definitely talking about it.
Dennis Rodman joined the NWO during the offseason. You can be obsessed, but you're not working out 18 hours a day every day. That's where I lie. Yeah, you're like even Kobe, who's the most obsessed, isn't working out 18 hours a day.
No.
Like it's weird to me. Lamont, CJ's case, it wasn't just the volume of podcasts. He was talking cash S-word about defensive players while having an O-line that couldn't block Pop Warner defensive players.
I don't think he expected the O-line to be that bad.
Defenses teed off on him. Yeah, but are the defenses teeing off on him because he's talking mad on podcast, or is the defense teeing off on him because they're professionals and they're looking for their next paycheck?
I don't think he could have fathomed how bad this offensive line was going to be, for one. And I don't think that any defensive line needed extra motivation.
Well, the only one that seemed to take extra motivation, the one he probably talked the most bleep about, was the Colts, and he beat them twice.
Yeah.
So that's true, because their players got offended by it. It didn't really come back to bite them. So.
Well, and then Micah Parsons. You know, they kept talking back and forth about each other.
Yeah. It's funny stuff, but then you have Casario and D'Amico, who we're both talking about. He needs to have a better offseason this year. That's just interesting stuff. Casario also was talking about 2023-24. He was asked if they made progression from 23 to 24. Here was Nick Casario's answer.
We made progress, Mike, I think. And you look at, you go back and look at our season, other than the Minnesota and Baltimore game, like we essentially had an opportunity to win every game. Some of them we did. Some of them we didn't. We just had a little bit of trouble finishing games kind of in the fourth quarter and executing when it matters. You know, even a divisional game is 13-12 in the fourth quarter. So we've put ourselves in a position, doesn't guarantee anything. Like getting back to that point took a lot of work. But we felt we had a good football team going into the season. We had to deal with some things. We lost some players, had some injuries. But we felt we were going to have an opportunity to compete, you know, with the rest of the AFC. And I think we've shown the ability to do that. Now, can we continue that sort of arc moving forward?
All right, a little bit of word salad there, but it does lead us to the question. Were the Texans better in 2023 or 2024?
I think they were better last season. I think that on paper they were better than the season prior. I think that from the standpoint of competitiveness in the game they lost in the playoffs, and you know, I think that I always harped on the fact that the schedule was tougher last year than it was the year previous. And I do think that does factor in to some extent. I think that they were a better football team in all those regards last year as opposed to 2 years ago.
Overall, I do think that they were better in 24 than 23. I would agree with you. Now, offensively, I think they were worse. I think they were a worse offense last year than they were 2 years ago. But I think that their defense was far better last year than it was 2 years ago. So the defensive improvement from 24 to 23, greater than the offensive missteps and, I guess, regression from 2024 to 2023. So overall, better slightly, but that's because the defense improved so much. I don't think that the offense was better, but I do think they were better. And look, they had a tougher schedule. They won the same amount of games than they did the previous year with a tougher schedule. So, yeah, I give the 2024 Houston Texans the championship
over
the 23
Texans. You said the defense was better last year, right?
Clearly.
Yes,
maybe. Maybe I, you know, tangled the words there. But, yes, 24 defense better than 23 defense.
Because I figured, you know, I agree with the defense. I think the defense was better. You're right, the offense was worse. But I think that at the same time, they still were at a really effective level because of even Joe Mixon from a rushing game perspective, and he was dinged up. But, yeah, I think that last year's team was better.
Texter says their defense was way better. I think that's what gives them the trump card, 24 to 23. Brian, 24 or 23, Texter?
I would say slightly 2024 because, I mean, like you said, like the defense got better. The offense took a step back. I think it's kind of a wash. And we talked what we talked about a lot going into last season were some of the bad losses that they had in 23. We always look at the Bryce Young loss to Bryce Young, the loss of Desmond Ridder, the loss on the road to the Jets in that rainstorm. And they kind of did the same thing again where they lost to Will Levis at home.
Yes.
They lost to a guy who threw five interceptions in a game where they didn't score a single point in the second half. They obviously blew a game late against Green Bay. They lost to the Jets again on the road. So it was kind of the same thing, but because the defense was so much better, I'll go slightly 2024.
They also, look, I mean, they lost both of their divisional round games, but their divisional round game this year against Kansas City was far more competitive.
That was definitely a check in the favor of 2024.
And, like, who cares? They were eliminated from the divisional round in both of them. But I 24 Texans over 23 Texans. Unanimous here. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Gary, you're in the high. What's up, Gary?
Hey, yes, how you guys doing?
Great.
I think last year, if you compare, put the Eagles and the Texans inside of each other. I know the Eagles are a little better up front on defense, but both receivers for the Texans and both receivers for the Eagles, it's a wash, maybe a little bit. Both QBs, similar. I'm not talking about a big gap. But if what's his name would have been healthy for the Texans, the one that was traded from, you know who we're talking about, sir, Matt, what's the guy's name?
Diggs?
Stephon Diggs. Yeah. If you kept Stephon Diggs and the other weapon the Texans have, they would be comparable to the Eagles wideouts. I'm not saying better, but they would have been comparable. Then you compare the quarterbacks. The offensive line suck, but the running backs were comparable. Yeah, obviously, Saquon did a lot more. But I think they were right there. So last year was better than the year before.
Appreciate it, Gary. Kind of a weird start.
I think Gary should have just gotten to last year was better.
It was a very weird way to answer that question. I wasn't sure where he was going with that.
Because I don't think you had to compare yourself to the Super Bowl champs to understand that last year was better.
Yeah. I could sort of see his point saying the wide receivers are similar, assuming full health for both ones, for both teams. But then you get to the running backs, like, no, it wasn't that close. Saquon Barkley had one of the best
running backs. Well, he never brought up
running backs. Saquon Barkley, yeah.
You notice that? He never brought up the running backs.
He did.
Oh, no, did he?
Yeah, he did. He said the running backs
said
close.
Saquon was better, but not by a big margin.
But then right after he brought up the running backs, he just glossed over. Yeah, the offensive line sucked. Well, yeah, that's kind of a thing.
Philly's strong point was their offensive line.
Like the best offensive line in the league in Philly and one of the worst in Houston. That's kind of everything.
I just don't know why you're comparing the 24 Texans versus the 23 Texans and you bring up the 24 Eagles.
I think he's trying to say the 2024 Houston Texans were better than we thought.
But to get to a point where you didn't need the Eagles in the discussion, you could have just done that about what I did at the start, receiver group this year versus receiver group last year, offensive line defense up, whatever. However, we all decided to do it, but you just compare the two teams.
Yeah, that was a weird way to get there. It was a weird way to get for this, like the transverse property when it was unnecessary.
Does Gary make a segment coming up in a little while?
For which one?
I don't know, the whole thing.
There's, I don't know if it was. I don't know if there's a bad take there though.
Glossing over the offensive line was kind of a.
But he said that sucked. Like he was right. He,
saying Mixon and Saquon are the same.
I think the only thing that it would qualify for is car wreck.
Yeah, I don't think you think their receivers were comparable to the Texans' receivers.
Fully healthy, I would say that. Yeah. I would say that's. Yeah. That'd be fine.
I think Nico's better than A.J. Brown. I think Nico's better than A.J. Brown. And Diggs isn't as good as the Slim Reaper.
Yeah. No, but if you combine Diggs and fair. Tank versus Slim, because they only have a third fair. In Philly.
Yeah, but they also don't really use a third.
I know.
They do
I'm
a lot
just
of
saying, like, if you were to compare the two.
Remember the survey, though?
I can make the argument.
The poll at the start of the year that thought with the trade they made with Washington that they had the best three receivers in the
league. Some Jahan
people.
Nelson.
I think we put those people on bad take, though.
Did we?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I was not a Dotson fan.
He did catch a touchdown in the Super Bowl, though.
He didn't have a good year.
No.
He didn't have a good year. No, I think that's a fair point by Gary, that the receivers are comparable.
I would agree. That was his best part, or the best point he had in that call.
Now, they don't have Diggs, so it's tough to have this question. Well, let's assume they have Diggs, I guess. Going into this year, would you rather have Nico and Diggs or Brown and the Slim Reaper?
Brown and the Slim Reaper. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm being a homer with Nico.
I agree with you that Nico and AJ is close regardless of who you have won, but I think the gap between whatever Diggs is this year and Devonta Smith is larger than that.
Yeah, okay.
And I think how you use them too, right? I think obviously with Saquon's numbers, they were a run-dominant football team that didn't throw it nearly enough, in my opinion. And now you've got a football, and on the flip, so if you used him in the Texans offense, I think they would have flourished.
Did Gary just say running backs are comparable? He did. Okay,
yeah.
That's the bad take, then.
Yeah,
there's the bad take. Philly tight ends are way better and are willing to block. True, but Goddard was hurt for a big chunk of the year, though. But yes, better and willing to block. Philly's tight end is far superior. You know, the one thing that we haven't mentioned here that I think might be, it should be in the conversation. I'm not going to say it's the greatest gap. Because the greatest gap's probably the offensive line. I think the greatest gap's offensive line, Philly versus Texans offensive line. I think that's a bigger gap than Saquon over Mixon. Still a gap there, but the bigger gap is the offensive lines. One thing that we haven't mentioned at all, play caller.
Yeah, Kellen,
Philly's OC Huge got gap. A head coaching yeah. job. Texans OC got sacked.
Yeah.
So like I think that needs to be in the conversation as well.
Football is football.
No, I think that's huge. I think that the system you run, and if you're predominantly a run team versus a pass team, I think that matters. I think that Philly's receivers would have flourished in a more pass happy system. I think the Philly's receivers would have flourished more in a Texan system.
Yeah, Philly's a little more run heavy. Let's listen to Casario on the latest on Diggs. It's pretty quick, and it kind of gives you an update, maybe, of what the Texans are thinking.
We'll continue to talk to Steph. I mean, Steph did a great job. You know, glad he was on our team last year. He helped us win some games. Unfortunately, he got injured. So we'll kind of work through the process with him. But we're open door policy, so we don't rule anything out. So we'll kind of keep an open mind, and we'll try to figure out, like, you know, what makes the most sense and if there's a fit.
DeMeco said the same thing. To me, what, like, my biggest takeaway from hearing that and hearing DeMeco, we shouldn't guess what they're going to try to do. Like, let's just wait to see what they do. Or yeah. Maybe we can react to reports because it's fun. But, like, trying to, like, decipher what Casario means by that, like, are they bringing back Diggs, I think is fruitless.
Yeah, because they think that – I don't want to say it's like Jim Crane. Like, they're going to wait, and if something splashy presents itself, they can make that happen. I think they've proven that they've been pretty solid – in terms of if they have a need and there are players that they feel like they can get, whether it be a trade and or free agency or the draft, they've been pretty good about going to do that. If you base it on especially what they did last year, that I believe with full confidence that, you know, we just said the defense was better last year than the year prior, and they went out and got some very key additions like El Shire and Hunter and Autry. I think, and then they drafted a corner and a safety. I think that they can improve this offensive line in a multitude of ways. If there's a bigger name, go get him, whether it be receiver or offensive line. And if not, I have total confidence they'll get this team better.
Yeah. If I had to pick between Diggs being a Texan and not a Texan, I would guess not a Texan. But it doesn't – that's not because of what Casario said. It's just where they're at contractually, where I think they're going to spend their financial resources. I would lean Diggs not on the Texans than on the Texans. But would I be shocked if they signed him to an extension in 2 weeks? Nope.
It's kind
sure
of
wouldn't.
Like, where else does he go? Like, does he go to Dallas?
I mean, there's going to be plenty of suitors, I think, for Diggs.
I don't know, because of the injury and everything, and because he's probably going to want upwards of 20. And I don't know if he's worth that at his age.
A lot of teams in the NFL that could use wide receiver help. I think he's going to have plenty of interest.
And the cap went up almost, what, $30 million?
Yeah, I did do that.
And plus, you're probably not going to have to sign him to a multi-year deal. So, like, the AAV is going to be kind of high, but you probably do it for a one-year deal. Or if you sign up for a two- or three-year deal, only that first year is guaranteed. Like, I think he's going to have suitors. 713-780-ESPN. Abdul Carter, apparently, he's got a broke-down body, and there was a fight at Starbucks, probably because of the stupid message they write on your cup now. We'll discuss next. It's the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I think Diggs goes wherever Stafford or Rodgers goes, says Keith. That'd be interesting.
I think Adams is going wherever Rodgers goes.
Probably.
Have room wherever Rodgers goes. He's got to bring in Lazard and Cobb, too.
Todd says he doesn't think that Diggs will have any suitors. Ocho says paradise is the name of the man. The man-made world created inside a Colorado mountain in case of a catastrophic event. Okay. So it's not like
so that's not the island dating game?
Bachelor on Paradise, yeah, or anything like that. Okay, that makes a little bit more sense that you'd be discussing that with your mother as opposed to, like, tropical paradise where everybody's, dressed
down. Toughen up and play for Kelvin.
Yeah, Ocho soft. There's no doubt about that. There were some raspberry Pop-Tarts that somebody was giving away in the break room.
Yeah.
They put a note, try me or whatever. Did y'all partake?
I didn't even know it was there.
Yeah, I didn't partake. But whoever took the last one just left the empty box.
That's rude.
That is kind
of rude.
Throw
it away.
That's Bush League. Incredibly Bush League. You took the last one. You know that.
You know it's empty.
You know it's the last one.
And that break room's not big. The trash can's within one step.
And it's mean for two purposes. One, you didn't just clean up your trash.
Yeah.
And then secondly, you also teased somebody else who might have wanted a raspberry Pop-Tart. You know?
Yeah.
It's not cool. Abdul Carter's got a stress fracture in his foot. How does his broke-down body impact this draft, you think?
Yeah, I don't Drew Rosenhaus, and of course every agent's going to say that the doctors have said he'll be ready for camp, he'll be all good to go. I the first thing I thought about was, oh God, don't let it be a Yao Ming thing with, Liz Franck and screws in your foot and constantly dealing with it. But whether he had a bad foot or not, he was pretty dominant with only one arm all the way through the college football playoffs. I don't think it's going to keep anybody from taking him number one overall.
Yeah, I think that the arm would be far less concerning than a stress reaction in the foot. Like, it does spook me whenever big men have feet issues. And maybe it's more of a basketball take because we've seen a bunch of, like you mentioned Yao, like he's the notable one. Didn't George Muirson's career get cut short with a foot? Rick, like, there's been a ton of guys over 7 feet tall who had bad feet and their careers were cut short. So I don't love it when large men, especially early in their career, and Abdul Carter would be a rookie, of course, in this draft, it does scare me when they have feet issues.
Zion.
That's right, he did.
Yeah, and it went from blowing out a shoe to full-blown feet issues, and that led to knee issues that led to trying to teach him how to run and walk differently.
Yeah, I would be very, very scared. I wouldn't draft him with a top 24 pick. I would not touch him with a top 24. Don't roll your eyes at that, Brian. Do you know where the Texans draft?
I was just taking it back.
The Texans drafted number 25. I would not draft Abdul Carter.
You do know where he's going.
Okay,
no one should touch him in the top 24. Feet injury on big men are way too scary. Not slash yes. Shouldn't touch him in the top 24. But I wonder if this will. Does he still go number one? Like, I would bet not.
I think number one's a trade up and someone takes Cam Moore.
Like most mock drafts you see right now, it's about 50-50. Abdul Carter goes number one 50-50. I would bet that Cam Ward is the number one pick. Like, I kind of already felt that way, but now with a stress fracture and a defensive end's foot, I feel more confident saying that.
I think if it's not a team looking for quarterback, he goes number one. But, yeah, I think
no one's. I don't think anybody's trading to one for Abdul Carter. I think the only way a team trades to one is for a QB.
probably right.
Especially Abdul Carter with a broken
foot. I don't think Tennessee knows what they're going to do right now, but I don't think that they like anybody in this draft where they couldn't be swayed one way or the other. They could take Abdul Carter, or they could take a couple more picks because their team needs them.
Yeah.
And slide down.
I think they're going to trade down. My bet's the Giants. I think the Giants trade up to number one and go with Cam
Ward. I can't see Brian Daboll and Joe Shane going into a year where they have to win or they're both fired and go into that season with a rookie quarterback.
Instead, you're going to do it with Matthew Stafford and trade a first for him?
Oh, God.
If it's a first, that would spook me a little bit. But I don't think Stafford costs a first.
Like, I don't think you have to make the playoffs, though, to save your job if you're one of those guys, if you're building around Cam Ward. I think you have to show that you're trending upwards in a pretty positive direction with a rookie quarterback. Rookie quarterbacks a lot of times can be job savers if you show progression, because it's like, oh, man, look at the future now with this rookie quarterback. How many games did they win last year, 4 or 5? I don't know.
Yeah, if they bring in
Cam Ward and they win 7 games and Ward looks like he's a future franchise quarterback and Neighbors has a big year, I don't think they get fired.
I do.
Maybe not Daboll, but I think
because Daboll's had his chance and he's been clamoring to give me somebody else. And if you give him somebody else, they're expecting that. Yeah, I think you want to see progression, but especially because you've seen what CJ did and you've seen what Daniels has done. And now, you know, the expectation is, well, then Daboll be the guy that takes the guy. If we get a young quarterback that gets him there. And I think from Brian's point, I think with both guys knowing they're on the hot seat, I think they're looking for a veteran.
They kept them after a 3-4-win season when they were lousy, but you're not going to keep either one or both of those guys after a 7-win year where your number one draft pick looks like a franchise quarterback? I completely disagree.
I understand and hear your logic, but I don't think NFL teams necessarily always operate with that same logic, because don't forget, this is an owner. We saw it on Hard Knocks that was – pretty angry about the prospect of losing Saquon Barkley, then watched him go to the exact team he didn't want them to go to and win a Super Bowl. I don't know that he's going to be that patient.
And kept them.
Yeah, and kept them, but he's going to have to show, I think, more than a 7-win season to keep to keep both. I can see a scenario where you get Cam Ward. He looks promising. You win 7 games. You keep Daboll because you give him the credit for his, you know, Cam Ward's development. But I don't think that saves Joe Shane's job as the general manager.
I think Shane's in a hotter seat than Daboll.
Because he was the guy that was under the scrutiny of letting Saquon
go. Yeah.
They won 3 games. They won 3 games last year. You double the win total plus one with a rookie quarterback, I think it's
double the win total. I mean, if they had two wins and you doubled the four, is that big of a deal? I mean, whatever.
Yeah, it is.
I don't think 7 wins saves both their jobs. It maybe saves Brian Daboll if Cam Ward is great. I don't think it saves Joe Shane.
I hope it happens now. I hope it happens so we can track this. Todd says the chain should already be fired. I agree with that. Like, I can't believe he didn't get axed.
I thought Daboll was going to survive no matter what. I didn't think that Shane would. And now when you look at it, I think if I'm just objectively considering Jeremy's point, the only thing I could say is if he makes the trade that gets you the quarterback that shows promise, what he does with the remaining draft picks could actually save his job, regardless of their record. Because if he goes out, and I don't know what he's got to give up to get Cam, but if he goes out and gets the rest of his draft picks, and you can see wherever they play that they're going to be starters, they're going to be solid, a lot of those guys, that he might be able to get good enough to where he wouldn't get fired. Otherwise, I think he's the first to go.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out there. Mike, how many games would you have to win with Stafford to not get fired? Because I think it's more. Like, if you trade for Stafford, you're going to have to win more games than if you had a rookie quarterback.
I think you'd have to win 9.
So, like, if the line's 7-ish for Cam Ward, now it's 9-ish for Matthew Stafford, give me the rookie. Give me the rookie if it means, like, my job's on the line there. I don't know. Colt fan, looking forward to Justin Fields competing with Anthony Richardson for starting position.
Okay.
That would be a fun battle. Fun. So you could rack up the most rushing yards in the preseason to see your starting quarterback
who could miss a receiver by less than 5 yards.
And then did you hear about the fight that went on at in Indy at the combine? Ian Rappaport, Jordan Schultz fighting at Starbucks. Jordan Schultz will DM me from time to time. I DM'd him today, be like, hey man, what'd you do with Ian? But he didn't respond, as you might imagine.
You know what I noticed when I went to his Twitter today? He's one of those people that follows like hundreds of thousands of people, which I was surprised to learn that he also followed me in that moment. But yeah, it's so weird when people follow like literally over 100,000 people.
Well, I think he was not hired yet by like a reputable site. So it's like, hey, I'm going to follow a bunch of people so I can get a bunch of followers, and then maybe you'll give me a job.
Yeah, I can see
which
that.
It worked, because now he's like the head guy over at Fox.
Right.
So like it kind of worked. But they got into
his daddy doesn't help that at all, huh?
I don't know who his dad is.
His dad is the former CEO of Starbucks.
Yeah.
Jordan Schultz is?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That used to own
the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
So Jordan Schultz, the guy who got in a fight at a Starbucks with Ian Rappaport,
has Starbucks money.
Is Howard Schultz.
Really?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
I had no idea about that. I don't like Mike Florio. I think I've made that very clear. But he had a tweet about this fight the day after the Thrilla in Vanilla latte.
I thought the best tweet of the day went to Adam Schefter. He just tweeted a photo of a Starbucks sign that says, keep your head on a swivel.
Yeah, that was pretty funny,
too. That was pretty good.
So I wonder, what did you have written on your Starbucks cup today?
Thank you, Joel.
Thank you, Joel. That's pretty basic.
Today was basic. It depends on who makes the coffee.
I wonder what sparked this between these two.
Oh, apparently they said exactly what it was.
It was a sarcastic tone that at Rappaport took toward some of Schultz's reporting,
right? No. This was all about, and we mentioned it yesterday, this was all about the fact that Schultz reported that there was a meeting between Tom Brady and Matthew Stafford regarding him, you know, possibly joining the Raiders. And he made it to everybody believe it was like a significant thing. And then Rappaport poo-pooed all over it, going, this wasn't even close to a significant thing. This was a chance meeting when both were on vacation or whatever it was, and crapped on it. So then Schultz approaches Rappaport in the Starbucks and says, we need to talk. And Rappaport looks at him and goes, we don't need to talk about anything. And they said that Schultz was dropping F-bombs at him and basically threatening him and walking towards him. So Rappaport called security.
Oh, it's soft.
That part is, I'm glad at least one person agrees with me. I thought that to be very soft. I mean, you're in the middle of a Starbucks. You're not going to get beaten with a baseball bat. You called over NFL security.
Wait, time out. A Starbucks in the hotel that is the home hotel of the Combine, as they both mentioned, surrounded by GM, scouts, and coaches.
He's not going to pull out a crowbar and kneecap you. Like, just have your argument with him and move on.
Call NFL security.
It was so weak. That's so weak from Rappaport. I know he's like 5'9", but still, man.
Well, George Schultz doesn't look like he's much more.
I know. I'm just saying, I know Rappaport's a little dude, and I can't look through that lens because I'm not a little guy. But, man, I thought that was
people here previously that used to work here did not like Ian Rappaport at all.
Yeah, I've never heard really great things about
Rappaport. Yeah, they said he was extremely rude, that if they had him on the air, that he was basically not even paying attention half the time.
Yeah, and I don't think the wheelhouse liked him.
He would just say, oh, I got a more important call, and hang up in the middle of a segment. So he was not very popular over the years here.
So who would win this fight, Rappaport and Schultz?
I think the viewers.
I think watching the comedy.
Saw some people say whether they do a pay per view or something like that. That this, as much as it could have been Mahomes Senior and John Rocker, the undercard should have been this one.
Well, that fight's happening on a rough and rowdy. Yeah, they should put it on the undercard. Yeah, I agree.
I think Jordan Schultz would kill him.
He's younger.
I didn't realize
Rappaport was that small.
No, he's not. He looks.
5'9", you said.
I'm guessing. No, I don't even think just from the look of him.
Really?
No, I don't even think it's 5'9". I think he's like 5'5", 5'6".
McAfee Show did a tale of the tape. It was pretty funny.
Did they really?
Yeah.
They didn't have the height?
No. They were doing things like stories broke.
Rappaport is also their boys. I don't think they would want to height shame.
Oh, he came on with them.
He's on with them all the time.
Yeah, he's with them all the time. Yeah, I think Schultz would wipe the floor with Ian Rappaport. Look at me dropping bars. All right, Bad Take Boulevard. What belongs on Bad Take Boulevard this week? 713-780-ESPN, Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
Time to welcome some new takes.
Right this way.
To Bad Take Boulevard.
If only there was something in your head to control the things you say.
It's the dumbest argument ever.
With the Killer Bees.
Can I just say that I'm an idiot for listening to you?
RG2 sent us the tell of the tape between Schultz and Rappaport. Jordan Schultz goes 6'2", 10. 6'2", 10.
He doesn't look that.
He's going to kill Rappaport. Yeah.
Yeah. 6'2", 10, athletic history, basketball.
If he gets him to the ground, it's over.
Stories broke, unknown, net worth unlimited.
I don't think he has to get him to the ground. Same.
Ian Rappaport claims
Ian
to be
Rappaport's
a rower.
Tell of the tape, 5'5", 140.
Yeah. You know what?
His athletic history is rowing.
He should have called over to NFL security, maybe.
5'5", 140.
Oh, man.
Schultz is destroying Rappaport.
He wasn't one of the guys actually rowing. He was the guy at the front of the boat, right?
Don't they all row?
No, they got the one little guy that sits at the front of the boat and kind of navigates.
I don't know enough about rowing to have this argument, I thought they all had paddles.
No, all of them but the guy at the very front of the boat. He sits facing them and, like, coaching them up. Pretty sure. I'll look it up.
Now that you say that he faces them, that does kind of sound right. I don't know enough about rowing. Way too athletic for me to know anything about rowing. Dustin says that Rapp is a bag. A lot of people don't like Rappaport. And he's not winning this fight. All right, Bad Take Boulevard. What belongs on Bad Take Boulevard? 713-780-3776. You guys might have known this. Houston won the Big 12 championship again, back-to-back Big 12 championships. Bob Huggins was on with the Field of 68 podcast whenever they added Houston, UCF, BYU, and Cincinnati to the Big 12, and was asked about how these new teams would fare in the Big 12.
The Big 12 adding Houston, adding UCF, adding BYU, adding Cincinnati. With these teams in the league, how tough is it going to be nightly basis to play all of them?
You want the honest answer?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wait. That's why I asked you.
We don't want false.
Hugs, when have you not given an honest answer? Yeah.
We don't want
I
to
feel sorry for them. They have absolutely no idea what they're getting into. This is, I've been in a lot of leagues. You know that. I've been in a lot of leagues with the best coaches in America and with the best players in America. And I'm telling you right now, the hardest league that I've ever coached in, ever, and the best fan bases. You go in and they may be 3-17. And they've got 14,000 people sitting in
there.
I mean, it's unbelievable. The fan support, how good the players are, how good the coaching is. It is such a hard, hard league. And you got to go through it twice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you, they're not ready for that.
No.
Not many teams are. I saw other people reposting this. So, Bob Huggins, you made the list. Very, very difficult.
You just made the list!
Huggins sounded like he might have been indulging in some beverages there.
I think he did get sober, though. I think this might have been before that, though, because this was a few years ago.
This sounds like before that, yes.
Bob Huggins, you make the list. Houston's Big 12 belongs to them. Daniel Greese, I think. Because remember, Houston started 1-2 at the beginning of last year. They beat West Virginia, then they lost back-to-back road games at Ames, then they lost at TCU. They were 1-2. You know Houston's record since they started 1-2? Daniel Greese, when they were 1-2, almost. Daniel Greese, when they were 1-2, said, ha, 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 ha. Houston, welcome to the Big 12. Amazing when you play a D1 team. What happens? Cougars, since that tweet, 30-3.
Ooh.
Daniel Greese is a Kansas fan, by the way. Do you know Kansas' record since that point?
8 losses.
19-15.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's really unlike Kansas.
It's a D1 team, huh? You made the list, Daniel.
You just made the list!
Somebody texted in that Joe should make the list because of his take for Travis Hunter, called him overrated. It wasn't somebody. It was Keith from L.A. that texted it in. I didn't hear that.
I didn't either.
He wasn't overrated in college. We'll see how he plans out. Plays out in the NFL.
Almost everything that I've read and heard says that the two potentially to be the most transcendingly dominant players in this draft are Carter and Hunter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious. I am very intrigued to see
how he plays.
If he plays
both sides, he would be transcendent. Yeah, and he's still saying that he wants to do that. He said in a clip at the combine he wants to play 100% on both sides, but.
So here was Joe today. Joe's filling in for Paul, and Mapes is filling in for Joe. And they had Glenn Davis on today, and Glenn Davis might not know his killer G's.
The Dynamo versus Miami. Lionel Messi here in town, and to join us to talk about that is Glenn Davis, host of Soccer Matters. Most Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 6. Next week will be Wednesday and Thursday. Glenn, thanks for taking the time. How's it going?
Paul, I'm doing well. Is this painful for you to have to talk soccer after coming back from Seattle with the Sounders?
Oh. Glenn, it's Joe. Paul's on vacation today. How are you?
Oh, he is. It's just you, Joe. Okay.
You're good.
I took my shot at Paul when he's not even there.
It's probably well deserved.
Not even did he call him Paul, but he went into his history in Seattle. He goes, "Oh, it's just Joe." There were so many gyms there. He said, "Hey, Paul, it's good to have you back from Seattle." And he goes, "Oh, it's just Joe." We need the "just Joe" as a drop.
Yeah.
Anytime we bring up Joe, it's just, "Oh, it's just Joe." Yeah. That needs to be a drop on the show. Oh, it's just Joe.
So good.
God, I feel bad for Glenn because I know he's such a perfectionist.
I love Glenn. I might catch up for that later today, but that was good.
Joe belongs on Bad Take Boulevard there a little bit, too. He called Lionel Messi's team Miami.
They're Inter Miami.
Joe doesn't know ball. Doesn't know football.
Doesn't know football, yeah.
Yeah, that was classic.
Ouchie.
Oh, I'm not going to get over that. Spurs culture. Glenn Davis, you made the list. That's the first time
you just made the list.
If we put Glenn on the list, then anybody can get it.
Yeah, it's got to be serious.
Anybody can get it. Spurs culture on Twitter. It's like a fan site for the Spurs. They tweeted and they laughed when I said Devin Vassell was better than Jalen Green. Said that on December 19, 2023. Today he has apologized for that take and said, "My bad, I was wrong."
But you didn't say Vassell was better. You said Jalen's better.
No, Spurs culture said Vassell was better.
Oh, Spurs culture. I thought you said that he laughed at you for saying.
No. Spurs culture was laughing at himself for a bad take. But in 2023, he said, and they laughed when I said Devin Vassell was better than Jalen Green. He since apologized for that.
That's good.
So Spurs culture, you made the list. We had a texter.
You just made the list.
Earlier this week that said Jeremy Pena had just as good a year offensively as Bregman. Looked at the offensive stats between the two last year. We did. Pena nowhere near Bregman. Texter, sorry to do it to you, but you made the list.
You just made the list.
Colin Cowherd, who ends up on this program a lot and during this segment a lot, he got duped by the NBA Sintel account. Take a listen.
So tomorrow, Lakers play Dallas.
Yes.
I saw a story where they won't let Luka jerseys in the building in Dallas. But are you surprised by the outrage of it?
Yikes. Yeah. Apparently he thought they were going to turn people away at the doors wearing a Luka jersey, which was
He also said they were in Dallas when they were in LA.
Well, that too. But that was a story that came from NBA Central.
Yeah. Did they get shut down yesterday? I think they deactivated their account today,
but they're back up. It was only for a few hours.
Stephen A, of all people, put RIP Central.
So, I think the Rockets did too.
Really?
There was a bunch of like team accounts that were tweeting
out. I fell for a Central once.
You remember what it was?
Yeah. They said that the Rockets were like bringing in Joshua Primo for a workout. And I was like, "Oh, that's interesting."
I remember that.
But he actually ended up getting like onto a team.
He did. Charlotte.
So like wasn't a crazy one.
He was on Charlotte.
Yeah, but that's I fell for that one. NBA Central got me. I think I muted him after that so I wouldn't get got.
Soft.
Like Colin Cowherd. Yeah. Soft or smart. Texter or tweeter rather. UT shirt fan. This might be your burner, Brian. UT shirt fan? Is this your burner? He said that Ryan Pressley's better than Josh Hader.
Oof.
And he makes the list there.
You just made the list.
Andy Katz, you want to set this one up, Brian?
Yeah, so obviously we all saw, or at least I think we all saw, the crazy buzzer beater for Michigan State last night getting a big win. Shout out to Scott Van Pelt, who was not happy sitting courtside as his Terrapins lost. But, yeah, so Andy Katz is talking to Tom Izzo post-game, and this is the usual back and forth. Tom Izzo's breaking down the game, the craziness of it. And then for some reason, Andy Katz decides to ask a follow-up question that I don't think need to be asked.
I'm so proud of my guys, and Trey made the big turnover, and he made the lucky shot, but we deserve to win. I'm not taking that as a lucky shot.
Why do you think you guys deserve to win?
We played our tail off the whole game. Didn't you watch it? We're up 9. Okay, we made some mistakes, but we led the whole game. Our defense was unbelievable. I thought our guys did an incredible job. Once we got Jace, they did a good job. They went zone. We got Jace in those ball screens when they went man. He did a hell of a job, and that's the way it goes.
That might be the worst question ever.
Why would you ask that?
No.
Well, like, what response are you hoping to get?
He got handcuffed.
Yeah.
He got handcuffed, was trying to ask a follow-up question, and he got handcuffed. That's what happened.
Yeah, Katz went to Wisconsin.
Did he?
Yeah, because later in the interview, Izzo actually called him on it, because they play Wisconsin next.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you make the list, Andy Katz.
You just made the list.
Bad question. Jay Williams got by the fake Luka Nico Harrison pick. He didn't delete the tweet, which is worse. Like, getting got's fine. Like, you can get got. But deleting it's worse. Like, you'd be like, oh, they got me. Whoops. You know? The deleting, to me, is the bad take.
Yeah, no, 100%. Because I went to find the tweet today, because as it was referenced, I think I saw an awful announcing. But yeah, he had deleted. I don't know how quickly he did, but it's gone.
Yeah, that sounds good. And then the last one, D1 Baseball. They predict their series, right? Like, who's going to win this series? They have 11 analysts that predict it. And Houston went to California this past weekend to play baseball, little baseball. How many I see there were? There were 11? 10 yes. of the 11 picked the Golden Bears of California to defeat the Houston Cougars in the series out in the Golden State. You know who won that series, Blinkers?
Cougs.
Houston did. So 10 of you 11 at D1 Baseball. You all do a great job, by the way. But you get got. You all make the list.
You just made the list.
All of you. 10 of the 11 of you. All right. There's a few texts that want to put us on Bad Take Boulevard, so we'll do that next. 713-780-ESPN. What belongs on Bad Take Boulevard? It's the B's, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Couple of texts. Apparently, you were right about the rower, by the way. You know what that position is called? That Rappaport probably did?
I should, but I don't.
It's called the coxswain.
Oh. Maybe that's why I don't.
Yeah, the rower closest to the front bow of the boat, coxswain. That person's
hey,
responsible.
Phrasing.
No, it's not. It's phrased perfectly. You're the pervert. The person in the boat responsible for steering, safety, motivating the crew, and race strategy. The coxswain either sits in the stern or lies in the bow of the boat.
Okay.
There you go.
So you think in the front more times
so
than
you
not.
Thought that he was the coxswain and not the rower?
I mean, at was he 5'5", 140?
I think it was 5'4", 140.
Definitely then.
Maybe it was 5'5", 140.
I think
right.
Jordan Schultz probably thinks he's still the coxswain.
Yeah, I don't think he was rowing.
No.
I don't think you're putting a little dude who's 5'5", a buck 40 in the middle of the boat.
The minute you mentioned, when you brought the tail of the tape back up when someone sent it and then said he was in the row, I was like, I don't care. There's no way at that height. I don't care if he does have strong legs. There's no way.
It is weird that it's pronounced that way because it's spelled coxswain.
Yeah, I would never pronounce it.
It literally says pronounced that way.
Huh.
So that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, there's no way he was a rower.
No, no chance.
Unless it was like some D3.
No, like, you know,
how small the school would have to be.
You know who I remember as rowers? The Winklevosses. Remember, they rowed for their school in The Social Network.
Were they swimmers or were they rowers?
Oh, I don't remember. You might be right.
Yeah, I thought they were swimmers.
Something to do with water. I know that they had something to do with water, and they had their ideas stolen. And that's about my knowledge of the Winklevosses.
Well, that fell apart quickly.
That's all I know about the Winklevosses. Texter says, I belong on Bad Take Boulevard for taking salsa and chips over queso and chips. And that's preference.
Yeah,
it's not really a take. That's preference. And I like both. Bad Take Boulevard, Packers president Mark Murphy for wanting to ban the brotherly shove. Remind me, how did Vince Lombardi get his name on that trophy?
It wasn't the brotherly shove or the tush push. It was the sweep.
I do think banning the brotherly shove is kind of dumb.
Soft.
Yeah,
extremely soft on the Packers.
Hey, this team does something really, really good, and we're going to propose a rule so that we can ban doing something that the other team is doing really, really good.
Yeah, Schefter went off on it the other day. I completely agreed with everything he said. It's just like, are we going to, if some team is really good at putting a large fullback in and running blast with them, are we going to outlaw that? I mean, it's just a regular play. I mean, unless there's some irrefutable reason to believe injury risk is significantly higher. Like, otherwise, I don't know what conversation we're having.
You know what I think we should get rid of? Legitimately, sincerely?
Mm.
The forward pass. Let's get rid of it. Let's get rid of the forward pass. I hate what it's done
to the
Eagles
NFL. Might like that.
I hate what it's done to the league. Let's get rid of that. Other, like Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen and Lamar Jack, all these quarterbacks are just too good at the forward pass. Let's get rid of it. Let's ban
it. You know,
that
actually might help Josh Allen get a Super Bowl.
It might. it might help Lamar, too. Philip 68, wok, queso, or salsa. See, look, like, all of them are great.
But they
like,
are.
The foundation to me is built on salsa. Not love. Salsa.
Trust, I've heard. It's not another big foundation.
Queso. I love all of them. All of them are great.
Queso, I do too, wok, I'm going salsa. Queso.
Like, you have to start with a little salsa, I think. Ocho, I'm still laughing at Kelvin Sampson saying it felt like family at the Texas Tech game because he heard a lot of son and mother.
He did. That was a great quote.
Yeah, that was funny. All right, 713-780-ESPN. What are the worst nicknames in sports? You might have seen this. Cam Smith is nicknamed the Sweet Pickle, which is a terrible, terrible name. What are the worst nicknames in sports? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.